Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM. Warning.
The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
And as always, lads, a little ears warning here. You can catch this chat on our podcast after the show, wherever you get your podcasts. Because today we're going to talk about consent in relationships. And joining me on the line, of course, is our relationship therapist, Rachel Cook. Good morning.
Hiya, Jen. How are you?
Good, good. I wasn't expecting this one. Consent within a relationship. We've talked about consent before. So just for any new listeners or who aren't aware, what is consent at its most basic?
So consent is when one person agrees or gives permission to another person to do something. So it means agreeing to an action based on your knowledge of what that action involves, its possible consequences, and having the option of saying no. So it's usually discussed in relation to sex, but actually this applies to every area of life, which I'm sure we'll be talking about today.
So for anyone who's not sure about what that means, when you're already in a relationship or a marriage, what is it and why is it so important?
Yeah, so when it comes to, you know, sex and consent in relationships in general, consent is so important. You know, basically each person in a relationship has a responsibility to make sure that you both, or however many of you there are in the relationship, that you feel safe and comfortable, you know, at every step along the way. And so, we usually refer to this in terms of sex, but we know that, you know, your actions towards a person can hugely affect the way they feel about you, themselves, the relationship and sex in general. Now, that doesn't mean that you're responsible for all of their feelings. But, you know, what I find is that people often think that just, you know, now that you're already in a relationship or you're married, that you kind of just, you know, you know each other, you take care of yourselves, when actually, you know, of course you're still impacting each other. Of course you're having an effect on each other. And so, you know, non-consensual sexual activity, anything from touching and kissing to penetration, is against the law, you know, whether you're in a relationship or not. And the psychological and physiological consequences of rape and sexual assault can last a lifetime, as we know. Now, disturbingly, between probably a third and a quarter of adults, especially of older generations, still don't view non-consensual sex within relationships or marriage as rape. You know, so that this is something that we really have to look at, because marital rape is a serious and really frequently occurring form of domestic violence. And it only became a crime in Ireland in 1990. So until then, the law on rape.
That
like it was only 30 years ago that in this country that rape was even, you know, that basically rape within marriage wasn't seen to exist. So, you know, this is something that we have got to look at, because it's going on big time.
So there's a lot of taboo, and I'm sure this issue has only gotten worse over lockdown.
Oh, big time. You know, domestic abuse has gone up globally by about 20% during the pandemic. So bad that it's actually been called the shadow pandemic. And also it's been worse during this time because, you know, people don't have other people to open up to. They don't feel they can escape from their, you know, home if they're living with their partner or spouse. They didn't feel that they could visit the doctor. You know, they can't leave. So we're seeing, you know, a high scale of non-consensual relationships. You know, and basically, you know, people who are within relationships and marriages, sometimes they will resist verbally for around sex, or sometimes they don't resist at all because they feel that it's going to be futile. They fear being injured. They fear, you know, that they should be fulfilling their sort of duty, often as a wife, particularly for women. And then also over their concerns over how resisting sex will impact, you know, the marriage or the relationship. So then we also have this kind of male rape erasure. You know, according to some pieces of research, one out of every 10 rape survivors is actually male. And between 10, we don't know for sure, but between 10 and 45% of those rapes are committed by women. So, you know, male victims often contend with stereotypes about masculinity that make it much more difficult for them to speak up about their sexual assault and get support. But, you know, the stats are just really scary. And I think we have this still pervasive dichotomy where we see people as kind of abusers or non-abusers. And a relationship is either, you know, that only a tiny minority of relationships are abusive or unhealthy, when that just really doesn't seem to be the case. There seems to be a huge huge amount of grey areas in relationship around consent, which is another reason why this needs to be talked about so much more. And also that rape laws need to be made gender neutral.
So how can you know if your partner is giving you consent?
Yeah, the only way to really know for sure that someone has given you consent is if they tell you. You know, it's not always easy to, for people to let you know that they're not happy about something. You know, sometimes the person you're with, whether it's a new relationship, whether you've been together for decades, sometimes they might look like they're happy enough doing something, but on the inside they're not. And they might not know how to say that or how to tell you that they're uncomfortable. So one of the best ways to determine if someone is uncomfortable with any situation, especially a sexual one, is to simply ask them. You know, questions you can ask. Ask her, is there anything that you don't want to do? Are you happy with this? Are you comfortable? Do you want to stop or do you need to take a break? Do you want to go further? Does this feel all right? You know, then also about slowing things down, you know, taking your time, making sure you're both okay. Sometimes things can feel like they move very fast. So some things that you can say if you feel like things are moving too quickly are, I don't want to go any further than kissing, hugging or touching tonight. Or can we stay like this for a while? Can literally say, could we slow down? Let's pause for a moment. Give me a minute. You know, and just remembering that you always have the right to say no. You always have the right to change your mind at any time, regardless of your past experiences with the person that you're with. You know, and if you want to stop, you know, just saying no, saying I need to stop, I'm not comfortable with this. Even if you want to say I need to go to the toilet because you need to give yourself a break because you don't feel able to say, because some people really do struggle with saying no in the moment.
Surely there has to be an aspect of body language or non-verbal consent too.
Oh, there is. You know, asking questions throughout is a big part of ensuring both people or however many people are involved are feeling comfortable. But verbal consent isn't always enough because, as we said, you know, it can be hard. For some people, it's hard to know how you feel in the moment, especially if you like the other person a lot, you love them, you worry that saying no could hurt their feelings, you're worried about making the situation awkward or embarrassing. You know, it's not uncommon for people to say they're fine when they're not. So, you know, there are many ways of communicating, and the look on someone's face, their body language, can sometimes have more meaning than the words they say. So I would say go first with verbal, that you make it explicit as possible. But you can also check in with the person on their, you know, their body language. You know, signs that they're pretty comfortable would be that they're pulling you closer, that they're actively touching, kissing, hugging you, that they have relaxed body and facial expressions. Maybe they're laughing or giggling, you know, that they're making enthusiastic noises, they're responsive to your touch. And then uncomfortable signs, you know, if they're sort of pushing you away,
grimacing,
holding their arms tight. Sorry?
Grimacing.
Yeah, grimacing. I mean, that's a seriously bad sign. Now, obviously, some people have grimacy sex faces, so you'll be able to, you might need to ask them and have conversations about knowing the difference. But, you know, if they have any sort of uncomfortable or painful looking facial expression, they're turning away from you, hiding their face. If they stiffen up, you know, if someone freezes, that usually means that they've gone into a stress response or even a trauma response. So if someone is very frozen up or they don't look very present, they're not responding to your touch, they're holding their arms tightly around their body, those are very good signs that the person is really uncomfortable and you should stop right away and wait until they're able to talk to you, and certainly do not resume until they can.
Okay, so people, men and women, who do not recognise those signs, they're so far gone, there's a lot of work to be done with them. But can we back up the truck for a little second here? Because these seem like very basic things to me around consent. So surely, you know, I mean, we should all be very aware with our children and how to teach consent at a very early age and make sure they're very clear on what that means. Surely that is really, really, really important for us as parents to do as well. Because, I mean, if they get to a stage where someone says no or grimacing or clenching their arms and they're still going at it, that's a big, big, big problem. So how do we prevent that? And at what age should we start teaching kids about consent?
As soon as possible. You know, you and I have talked about this before, that as soon as you can start with talking to children about their bodies and, you know, checking in with them from very early on, you know, if they would like a hug, if they're okay with receiving a hug.
Yeah.
Teaching them about parts of the body being more private, and actually practicing with them. You know, it's like what we find is that a lot of our society still sees it as being quite romantic to sort of pressure people into certain, not necessarily sex, but it might be certain aspects of sex, or certainly it could be pressurizing someone into a relationship, you know, that's still seen as romantic in a lot of our media, you know, in Hollywood, you know, movies and things. So, you know, even just recognizing that, like, it's not just the word no that means no. There's lots of other things, like saying not now, maybe later, no thanks, piss off, I'd rather be alone right now, I'm not feeling up for it tonight, please don't touch me there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm on Netflix, I love you, but let's just go to sleep, I'm not sure, you or I've been drinking, or silence. Any of these things means no. It doesn't mean try to cajole, persuade, convince the other person to go for it. It just means no. And we have to look at this, because you said earlier about how, you know, some people, it's really far gone if they're getting to this stage and they're still going for it. But the thing is, you know, there are differences between people, particularly in terms of culture, class and neurodiversity degree, which mean that one person might struggle to read another person's reluctance, you know, and this is why enthusiastic consent is a much more helpful model than no means no. So, you know, so it's this idea that yes means yes rather than no means no, because, you know, basically we should only be going ahead if everyone involved is enthusiastically saying and demonstrating that they want to. And if you're not receiving a clear, wholehearted, enthusiastic message to go ahead from a partner, then you don't go ahead and you check in with them, but you stop there. And this is something that we can start from right at the beginning with children's, you know, bodies and how they talk about.
Yeah, not even on a sexual level, just talking about consent. If they have siblings or they're playing with their friends and they want to play, and they want, if they're play fighting or whatever, like all those signs and all, they can learn about consent in the playground, at home, over dinner. You know what I mean? It doesn't even have to be in a sexual way, because that will navigate them towards what, you know, consent really means, you know, and no means no, and to be able to read the other person properly, I suppose, reading the signs. It's one thing I'm always harping on about my daughter at the moment. Sorry, that's why it came into my head. Really interesting chat. So what are some useful discussions we should be having with our partners? I mean, is this something that we need to sit down with all our partners and discuss, do you think?
Oh, big time. You know, and again, this doesn't have to be only with, you know, romantic and sexual partners. I really think that talking about this in our, you know, in our friendships with colleagues, all sorts of relationships, different family members, you know, things like how are you going to manage yourselves and each other if one person becomes activated or even triggered, you know, and specifically around, let's say, yeah, which again, it doesn't have to be only romantic or sexual relationships, but like how consensual is the physical touch in this relationship rather than does it count as physical abuse or not? You know, if we're only seeing things in the light of it's either abuse or it's completely fine, then we've completely lost the nuance and grey areas of how someone might not be feeling great. It doesn't mean you're abusing them, but they may want to pause or stop, or they may not be comfortable with something. So looking at how we can talk about letting each other know that we're not comfortable, what sort of words and questions we would like to use to ask each other whether we're okay. So it's not just the physical touch or the sex, but it can also be the money, you know, so rather than looking at whether someone is entirely controlling the other person's like finances, there's lots of grey areas around money and how you handle it. How kind are people to each other in the relationship? And are they able to regulate themselves when they're not feeling very kind? How do you do that? How safe do people feel? You know, so that someone doesn't have to be making an active threat for someone else to feel unsafe. How free do people feel, you know, to have other close relationships? Is everyone in this relationship able to meet their basic needs and get support when they need it? And then again, back to sex, you know, having a sex menu, mutually coming up with a list of things that each person in the relationship is into, that they actually want to try, you know, that they don't want to do at all, which you can revise over time. You know, so all of these things are issues of consent that I think the more that we can have these conversations, and not just when we're in the sexual scenarios, you know, but when we're, you know, after dinner, over dinner, during the day, that you can check in with each other and see, you know, how are you feeling about this area of our relationship and our life? And actually, there's something that I'd like to talk to you about. Can we talk about that?
And if we do that and have these discussions, we'll all feel more comfortable and have better, more fulfilling relationships. Rachel Cook, thank you so much. I'll chat to you next week, okay?
Talk to you, Jen.
Bye, love. That is Rachel Cook, our psychotherapist and mental health consultant. You can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end, and she'll be back next week. If you have any questions you'd like us to put to her, please get in touch with the team 24/7, jen@rc.ie. We'll be back after this.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.